fourth case for argument this morning is Fallar against the Chicago Board of Education. Mr. McCauley.
May it please the Court. My name is Richard McCauley, and I represent the plaintiff appellant in this case, Valerie Fallar. This is an age discrimination case that my client filed against the Chicago Public Schools. This is our second trip to the Seventh Circuit on this matter. The district court granted summary judgment against my client. This court reversed and remanded. We had a trial in May of 2009 where judgment was entered against my client, and we seek to vacate that judgment and remand for a new trial. There are three issues in this case, all of which are evidentiary issues from the trial. The first issue is the judge's district court's ruling in limine that evidence related to a 1993 displacement, which involved the same people, the same principal at Foreman High School and my client, Valerie Fallar, would not be allowed into evidence. The second point is the results of the 1999 hearing regarding the displacement that is at issue in this case and the fact that the district court did not allow any evidence to come in about the back and forth and what took place at that 1999 hearing. And the final issue is the historical evaluations that dated back to 1992, my client, and our objection that those historical evaluations should not have gone back to 1992 and been allowed into evidence. The first point relates to the 1993 displacement hearing. My client was hired by Dr. Garvey in 1992 to fill a position in the Polish bilingual program at Foreman High School. And Dr. Garvey testified at the time that he hired my client, when she was admittedly 62 at that time, there was an acute need for Polish bilingual teachers at Foreman. He interviewed her. He hired her. She was in the school for a year. And then in 1993, he displaced her and said there was no longer a need for her at the school. She was sent to the Board of Education. She filed a grievance. And over the course of a year, ultimately it was determined that she should not have been displaced, that Dr. Garvey acted improperly, and she was reinstated at Foreman by order of the Board of Education. In the interim, Dr. Garvey hired two younger teachers, the younger teachers who were the comparators that were featured at trial. He hired them while Ms. Fallar was out of the school into the Polish bilingual program, and they later became the subject of much discussion and debate at trial, as they were the comparators that he favored in displacing my client from her position in 1999. The district court, we don't have anything other than what's on the transcript at pages 11 and 12, excluded the evidence of the 1993 hearing, leaving the door open for the board to argue at closing, which they did as the central piece of evidence in this case. You've got Dr. Garvey hiring a 62-year-old woman in 1992 and displacing her in 1999. That's the tipping point. That's the central piece of evidence that allows you to find that he didn't discriminate against her in this case, that 7 years went by and he took no action, when the fact of the matter is the board was able to make that argument because the district court left the barn door open because there was no evidence that a year later Dr. Garvey did try to displace Ms. Fallar. She went to the board. He hired younger teachers while she was out of the school. He didn't, with knowledge of the proceedings and the grievance proceedings, didn't call her back to the school, let her grievance continue, went out and hired two younger teachers. That evidence was not allowed to go to the jury, and that was, we contend, an abuse of the district court's...
That's probative as to this case. I'm not sure I understand your argument.
The 1993 displacement? No. The board argued in their closing argument that the fact that Dr. Garvey hired Ms. Fallar when she was 62 and kept her at the school for 7 years was evidence that he did not discriminate against her. What's relevant and probative is that a year later, he did try to displace her. He tried to get rid of her after the so-called acute need, the emergency situation of 1992 and 1993 had passed. Dr. Garvey did try to get her out of the school. Didn't call her back when apparently there was a need for more Polish bilingual teachers. Instead, went out and hired new teachers, younger teachers, into the school. And then when she was ordered to be reinstated by the board, took her back into the school. So there was evidence, substantial evidence, that he did try to get rid of her soon after hiring her, after the emergency was over. The evidence with respect to the 19...
I don't see how that helps you. I mean, this wasn't the ground on which the district court excluded the evidence. But we say normally that there's an inference when somebody hires a person who's already well past age 40 and then soon discharges them. That's a piece of evidence suggesting the lack of discrimination. Right? The principal knew Filar was 62 when he hired her, though it's very hard to see that as age discrimination. What you seem to be asking the district court to do is take that inference of non-discrimination, which is the law of this circuit, and turn it on its head.
Under the particular facts of this case, Your Honor, where there was an emergency that could explain the hiring of the older teacher, and we would argue explain the hiring of the older teacher when she was 62, followed by an immediate displacement in less than a year later, and then while her grievance was pending, the hiring of two younger teachers into the same position.
That kind of response just leads straight into what the district court did say, which is the line of argument you proposed would make a major second trial, would essentially be a trial of what happened in 1993, which the district court excluded under Rule 403. And your burden is to show that that's an abuse of discretion. So far, you haven't taken it up.
The court's ruling simply states, without any inquiry, that it would be a trial within a trial. And, Your Honor, it simply wouldn't have been. It would have been fairly straightforward. There were a few documents that we attached to our offer of proof that indicate this could have easily been established through one witness. There was no inquiry. There was no exercise of discretion by the district court. There were no questions that were asked about what additional witnesses would need to be called. My argument at the district court, or the argument at the district court, was cut off, and the judge simply made the conclusory statement that this would result in a trial within a trial. And there's simply no basis for making that conclusion. There was no reasoned inquiry of the district court into what the particulars of that would be. Simply made the ruling without even making an inquiry about what additional witnesses would need to be called and what issues would need to be decided. The jury did find, one of the points that the board makes is that there was a lot of confusion, I should say, amongst the witnesses about what would the proceedings that would take place in a displacement. The jury did hear all of that evidence with respect to the 99 displacement. The 93 displacement would have simply been evidence that the displacement took place, that the others were hired, and that the board ultimately overruled her grievance and ordered her back into the school. So there was, in this instance, there's no basis to draw the conclusion that the district court went through that balancing act. And I see that I'm into my rebuttal time, but the 1999 hearing, I don't think it seems the defendant concedes that Mr. Owen's statements wouldn't be hearsay, but my client was precluded from pointing out that she didn't really get a fair hearing and that the board departed from its procedures in displacing her. And the 1992 evaluation evidence, consistent with the first point, there was a gap in those evaluations that my client was not allowed to explain to the jury, and the district court simply let the matter go to the jury and said the jury will just have to figure it out for itself. So it relates to the first point in the 1993 hearing, because there was no evaluation for the year in which she was pursuing her grievance at the board. I'll reserve the last minute or so for rebuttal, unless there are any questions.
Thank you, Mr. McCauley. Ms. Loader.
Good morning, judges, counsel. I'm here on behalf of the Chicago Board of Education. First, I want to address the alleged gap. There was no gap because Ms. Filar herself testified that she was hired in 1992 and then she was displaced the next year. She testified about that, so there was evidence of the 93 displacement. The second point I want to make is about the probative value of that 93 displacement. She was at the school for 5 years after that, and he didn't take any opportunity, of which he had many, to get rid of her. He could have easily said any of 10 times that she was unsatisfactory. And he could have said she was unsatisfactory, visited her classroom once, told her how to improve, waited 15 days, and then just notified HR that he didn't want her in the school. That's all he had to do. And he had 10 chances to do that, and he didn't do it. Now, Ms. Filar says that the reason he didn't do that was because someone at the board would have looked over that unsatisfactory rating. But that's not true. Under the contract, you can't grieve the actual rating. You can grieve the procedure that leads to the rating, but you can't grieve the actual rating, and that's 39-7.8. I didn't raise it in my appellee's brief because he made this argument in reply, so I wanted to be sure and say that. She couldn't have grieved that. The second easy route that he had to get rid of Ms. Filar was that she didn't keep up her certification. What happened is she lost her transitional bilingual certification on June 30th of 1997. She got her standard high school certificate on September 3rd of 97, but she didn't apply for her bilingual endorsement until October of 97, and she didn't get it until December of 97. So between June and December of 97, she wasn't certified as she was supposed to be. And that's right on the certificate, right on her bilingual certificate. These are plaintiff's exhibits 15 and 55 that show she wasn't qualified. So he could have fired her for that reason, too. So it just wasn't probative, this evidence of the 93 displacement, and she testified about it also.
Was her teaching experience at the same level, same grade level, or was it varying as her career went on with the bilingual?
She was always teaching at the high school level.
Always high school? And was this, I don't know what one does when you teach bilingual, but what area? Was it just general, or was it English, or writing, or math, or what?
That was the bilingual certificate that they allowed for a while, the transitional bilingual certificate. That allowed someone who spoke Polish to teach any subject to the kids, any subject at all. Until they could learn English. The hope was that they would.
What did she teach?
She taught computers and business sorts of things.
Okay, well, there was some discussion toward the end of whatever this period is that the computer had more, I guess, motivated students and that it was sort of self-taught.
That was when she returned from her displacement in the last two, and after she was actually certified in 1997, he put her in a computer lab to monitor students who were just learning English. There was a computer program that taught them English. So all she basically had to do was stand in the classroom and make sure they were on task. Some of their teachers even came into the classroom. So that wasn't a very challenging position, and that's why it's so important that I think all of the evaluations for the entire period came in. Because during those last 2 years, she was really just a computer lab monitor, not a teacher. And she's
being study hall, huh?
Well, it's more than a study hall because they're actually learning English, but through a computer program.
Okay.
So I wanted to just say a few things about the 99 supervisor review because these were brought up in the reply brief. I wanted to emphasize that there was no violation of the collective bargaining agreement in this 3-3 hearing. They complained that there wasn't a complete investigation. But that at that stage of the grievance proceeding, there's no need for an investigation. And there's nothing in 3-3 that talks about an investigation. The person who's supposed to investigate a grievance is the union, because they're the ones that bring it, and that's in 3-7.5 of the agreement. At 3-3, what happens is the concerned parties come and meet. So there was no violation there. Now, they also make a point that Dr. Garvey wasn't at that meeting, and that was a violation of the agreement. Well, Ms. Filar could have asked for a continuance if she wanted him there. She didn't do that. And it's not a violation of the agreement for him not to come. The only way, if someone doesn't come, that it has any implication is if the grievant doesn't come. If the grievant doesn't come twice, then the grievance is deemed resolved. So that wasn't a violation either of the agreement. Unless you have any questions, I'll ask you to affirm the district court's evidentiary rulings.
Thank you, counsel. Anything further, Mr. McCauley?
I just want to deal with the subsequent opportunities to displace or terminate my client. The fact of the matter is that a decision to terminate based on cause, performance, would be reviewed by human resources, and we've got the cites of the record in there to indicate that. And someone who's engaged in discriminatory conduct isn't going to want his or her actions reviewed by the human resources department and any kind of look. They certainly do take a look to see whether the person should continue as a teacher in the public schools. As far as the certification, my client was certified as of the beginning of the school year in 1997, and if you read the briefs and you look at the citations, the reason given for her not being put in a classroom was there was no position for her. What's telling is that instead of displacing Ms. Filar, which he couldn't do because he would have to displace one of the younger teachers if there was no position for her, he just had her sit in the cafeteria until he could figure out what to do so he wouldn't have to lose a younger teacher. I see that my time is up. Thank the court.
Thank you very much. The case is taken under